Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, two different efforts to try to help homeless vets. Two words that Chi-High head football coach Chuck Rakovich says should never be next to each other. Also, we've got the initial reports on the U.S. Census and its impact on redistricting. That's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. We begin with an event coming up next Saturday to help homeless vets. This will be going on in Neillsville. The first annual Veterans Fest Wisconsin is a fundraising event that will take place at Strike Time Lanes in Neillsville and begin at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. A concert will take place from 1 to 4 and feature Tim Faust and Austin Brown from country vocal band Home Free, with an opening performance provided by Rosewater. Now, all the proceeds will be donated to Every Third Saturday, a nonprofit organization based in Minneapolis providing programs and support for at-risk veterans. Tom McKenna from Every Third Saturday provides an explanation of how their organization came to be.
And so I often tell a story about meeting our whole first homeless veteran, and it was right here at this little patch of grass. He was standing here, and I was at this light like these other cars, and I desperately tried not to make eye contact, but I knew his sign said, "Homeless veteran, please help." And I just couldn't wait for this light to turn green. And it did, and I went about my business, but it bugged me. It bugged me bad. And so I came back the next day, and I pulled over, kind of like I am now. And I got out, and I talked to him. And as I've told other people, I thought, when I asked the question, you know, what do you need, he would ask for money, so I had 20 bucks ready to go. But he didn't say that. What he said was, "I need clean underwear and socks. It feels awful. I haven't changed my underwear or socks in a week." That is the moment ETS got started. And now we're 10 years down the road. That was 10 years ago, or a little more than that. And we're really thankful and blessed to be where we are now. But it all started here. It all started here at this spot. I do believe it was a divine intervention to open my eyes and my wife Jessie's eyes and say, "Listen, whoa, we got to do something about this." Our fellow veterans are out here homeless. I'd never heard of it. So anyway, it's kind of a poignant thing to be back here at this spot and then to think about where we are and where we're going. So thank you to everyone who has helped along the way, and it's been many, and the ride is just getting started.
Again, Tom McKenna with Every Third Saturday, a nonprofit organization based in Minneapolis providing programs and support for at-risk veterans. They'll be the beneficiary of the first annual Veterans Fest Wisconsin, a fundraising event going on this Saturday starting at 11 at Strike Time Lanes in Neillsville. Meanwhile, also another effort here in the Chippewa Valley to help homeless vets coming up. During the month of September, the Chi-High football team and the Chippewa Falls Senior High School are going to be hosting a warm clothing drive for homeless veterans the entire ninth month of the year. The community of Chippewa Falls and the greater Chippewa Valley encouraged to donate warm clothing items at any Cardinal home football game an hour before kickoff or at either of the Jacobson's Hardware Chippewa Falls locations. Chi-High head coach Chuck Rakovich can't believe that this is the ninth season that the team has been partnering with the Hands Foundation in an effort to provide support to local homeless vets.
Unbelievable. When I heard it was the ninth, to me it's like the second or third. It's been such a great event that you know those good things you don't keep track of. You just look forward to the next one.
Well, you're the guy who rightly said, at least I give you the credit for saying, the words homeless and vets should never be put next to each other, and far too often they are, right?
Well, exactly. And, you know, these guys have done so much for us. I tell the kids, they're the guys that are enabling us to play football. It's not a right to participate in football. It's a privilege. And guys, they went out and laid their lives on the line. You can't do enough to thank them.
So while it's a month-long effort, the Chi-High football team and the Booster Club is hosting their ninth annual Veterans Night Friday, September 3rd, in an effort to support the Hands Foundation. Now they're collecting all sorts of items like winter boots, large warm coats, hooded sweatshirts, cotton or wool socks, large long johns, men's underwear, and personal hygiene items. Monetary donations also appreciated and will be used to purchase new winter boots from Mason Shoes. Donations can be placed in the bins located just inside the DeRay Field ticket gates an hour before kickoff or inside the doors at either of the Jacobson's Hardware or Chippewa Falls locations during normal business hours. If you're unable to drop items off, you can actually call the Chippewa Falls football team, and players and coaches will work together to come to your residence to pick up the items that you want to donate. And Coach Rakovich says other activities going on September 3rd include
the game. Veterans get in free. We have a hospitality area for them with coffee and cookies, and they mingle before the game, and I'm sure they tell old Army war stories or whatever, but comes time for the game, and our freshmen make a tunnel out onto the field, and they escort the veterans onto the field where they stand and are saluted by the crowd and stand there as proud as can be during the playing of the national anthem. In between the first and second quarter, we have what's called a miracle minute, where our freshman players will take buckets and pass them to the crowd and ask for anything they can, dollar, 50 cents, pennies, whatever. And all that proceeds that they collect is then donated to the Hands Foundation, who in turn turns that money into, like the past few years, it's turned into winter boots for homeless veterans.
And Coach Rakovich has some more good news to share.
This past Friday after our scrimmage, we put the varsity team on a bus, two buses actually, and went out to a local farmer's field who had a problem with giant ragweed in his soybean. And the kids pulled giant ragweed plant, and their payment is going to be, the farmer is going to match what we collect for them during the miracle minute. And that will be a donation in the name of the football team. So the players went out and spent an afternoon working for the homeless veterans to get them some more money to buy some more boots, gloves, or whatever. So our kids are really tied into this, and I'm proud of them.
In fact, Coach Rakovich says this isn't the first time some of his players have gone the extra mile to help homeless vets.
Well, yep, absolutely. Our kids have, a few of our kids have gone along with Scott and Deb Marrier to hand out, distribute items to the homeless veterans. And when they come back, they have a different perspective on life, I'll tell you that. So, and like I said, our boys are tied into this. They're, I'm just so proud of them that they're patriotic. They are, they're doing the right thing. And, you know, the only benefit our team gets is the pride of helping veterans and homeless veterans. And that's just exceptional. And I, like, again, I've said it before, I'm just so proud of our boys for doing this.
Rakovich says student athletes may set out to become football players, but along the way they get molded and shaped into men.
Well, you know, people sometimes forget that athletics, sports, extracurricular activities is part of the educational process. And as a staff, football staff, we don't just focus on X and O's. We do exactly what you say. We try to mold them into the type of citizens that we all would like to be a part of our communities and be leaders in our communities. So that's our mission as a football staff, to look good on the field, win as many games as we can. But in the end, we want our boys to be men.
Some great events going on to support homeless vets, starting with this Saturday in Neillsville, 11 in the morning at Strike Time Lanes, and then continuing throughout the month of September, but especially on Veterans Night, September 3rd at Chi High DeRay Field, the Cards and Menominee. Meanwhile, Dr. Ryan Weichelt, a UW-Eau Claire Associate Professor of Geography, whose work includes studying the U.S. Census, says some of the data for redistricting purposes was released this past Wednesday.
It's called legacy format, so you got to have some computer skills to kind of get to it. And in about 3 weeks, they'll send it out to their main website that anyone can download and kind of figure things out.
Wednesday's release of the detailed numbers from the 2020 census starts the Wisconsin battle over political district boundaries. The state population grew by about 4%, meaning it keeps its 8 congressional districts. The final local numbers expected to show losses in rural areas and a growing diverse population in urban areas. New district lines will be drawn for the congressional districts, 99 assembly seats and 33 state Senate seats. I asked Professor Weichelt what initially struck him about the numbers from a Wisconsin perspective.
Sort of the stark differences between the urban areas and specifically places like Madison, which had tremendous growth. They, I think, estimated around 73,000 new people between 2010 and 2020, which is tremendous growth. But then we sort of see in Wisconsin and across the United States this decline in the rural area that I think a lot of people were more surprised compared to the estimates that were released last year to the actual numbers that came out of the census.
So from a political standpoint, though, obviously we're concerned about, you know, in terms of Wisconsin's population and then the nation, and we continue to see this move to the south and the west, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. And specifically, and it's being driven in the big cities, places like Atlanta, Nashville, Austin, Dallas, Phoenix, places in Florida have seen tremendous growth, and you see a little bit of shifting. If we talk about the actual apportionment of the congressional seats, we saw those shifts and those seats were leaving parts of the north and northeast and sort of then being transplanted down into places like Texas and other places in the south.
One of the fascinating things in Wisconsin, though, Dr. Weichelt, is this battle over redistricting. And so what can you tell us in terms of these numbers and what sets up in terms of this battle over redistricting?
Yeah, I mean, if you compare 2010 and that Tea Party movement really was sort of a watershed moment for the state of Wisconsin. The Republicans took everything over, went from all Democrat to all Republican, and they were, you know, they could do whatever they want when we moved into the redistricting phase of 2011 and for the 2012 seats. Things are a little different today, obviously, with the governor being a Democrat. The legislature is the one that draws the districts. The governor has the ability to veto that. And it's going to end up in the courts. The last two redistricting phases of 2000 and 2010 went into the courts. This one's no doubt in my mind going to be in the courts. But I think those changes in the rural areas and the higher growth in the urban areas surprise the people across the United States and are going to surprise people in Wisconsin too. They're going to have to sort of deal with lower rural populations than expected, and in some areas higher Democratic counties like Dane County, those numbers are going to be higher. And so it's going to set off where you have the People's Maps Commission that was done by Tony Evers, has no legal authority whatsoever, but that's going to contrast greatly with the Republicans that are going to be turning out in the next, I don't know, 3 to 4 months. And so it's going to be, as everything in Wisconsin the last 10 years, it's going to be a fight.
Dr. Weichelt says,
you know, the crazy thing about redistricting is you do it initially based on the numbers, and you're kind of hoping as time goes on to sort of, it's the science behind it of trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next 10 years. And the Republicans that redrew those districts did, you know, they did a good job for their party. And so, you know, the Senate districts in Wisconsin are comprised of three assembly districts. So as you're kind of making your Senate districts, you're also taking in consideration the assembly districts. And they did a good job of sort of looking for those areas, finding the places they can pack Democrats into as small a group as ever, and then the other areas they can expand sort of Republican voters. I think Eau Claire is a great example of the assembly district that we have here. The city itself used to be split up. Now it's more or less just one district. So they said, okay, we're going to contain Eau Claire voters, and that's going to allow us to kind of have influence in some of those districts that are around there. And you still saw that across the state. And so, yeah, those people that did it, they did a good job in 2010. If you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, it's been sort of a rough 10 years.
Well, Representative Ron Kind announced this week he's not seeking re-election in 2022. Dr. Weichelt says the truth is no one knows how the 3rd Congressional District will be constituted for that race.
Yeah, exactly. We have no idea what the district's going to, you know, what they had done before was added Stevens Point area to the 3rd District, like as you were saying earlier, to protect the 7th District. We, you know, take out parts of St. Croix County. It's going to be anyone's guess as how they're going to sort of maneuver around that. I think it's going to be tougher for the Democrats to win the 3rd District, but I don't think it's a slam dunk as many people are saying. When Trump isn't on the ticket, these people tend not to vote as much. And we saw that in 2018. I mean, if you look at the governor's race, the 3rd District was one place that swung back towards the Democrats more than I think some people had anticipated. We look at the Supreme Court race during the primary and in 2020, which was a strange one because of the pandemic. But, you know, that was another area they went for the more liberal-leaning one because Trump wasn't on the ballot. When Trump's not on the ballot, you know, I don't think the turnout isn't as high, and we see this throughout much of the United States. So the question is, in 2022, what are the districts going to look like, and how energized are Trump voters going to be when Trump is not on the ballot.
And finally, Weichelt says...
The 3rd District is kind of a fascinating one because it spans all of western Wisconsin. It has, you know, urban areas. It has 6 university towns in it. You also have a lot of farming, manufacturing in different places. It's truly a swing district, and you know, with Evers on the ballot and potentially Mandela Barnes, that could energize that sort of base for Democrats. But if they pick a more moderate that Kine was, it could be a recipe to provide a chance for the Democrats compared to what a lot of people are believing. It's just a slam dunk for the Republican.
Yale Eau Claire geography professor Dr. Ryan Weichelt, whose work includes studying the U.S. Census, some thoughts on the redistricting battle that lies ahead, and our homeless vets, how we can help them. August 21st, this Saturday, starting at 11 at the Strike Time Lanes in Neillsville. It's the first annual Veterans Fest Wisconsin. And all the funds going to benefit the great work of Every Third Saturday, the nonprofit in Minneapolis, providing programs and support for at-risk veterans. And then throughout the month of September, Chippewa Falls football team and Chi-High hosting a warm clothing drive for homeless vets, kicking off with their football game September 3rd at Duray Field against Menominee. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks so much for catching this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. If you missed any part, you can check out the podcast at wib.com. The preceding, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.